Listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. This is the Astro Hour. That was the Go-Go's with Our Lips Are Sealed. A song that I liked a lot for a while and now like a lot more.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a good song.
You sure?
My name is Zach Going. This is Chris Del Russo.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
Yeah. I know you're all excited to hear my mom, but I got Chris instead, who's kind of like a mother to me.
Explain how?
I don't know.
Explain how? How so?
I don't think so.
How am I a mom? If I was a mom, this would be kind of shocking.
This was what was called a one-liner.
I'd work on it.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. We can't quote that that fake Rodney Dangerfield thing, but...
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But very Rodney
Dangerfield. I wish I wasn't dead.
Yeah, very Rodney Dangerfield in in the use of one-liners. I went to the graveyard the other day to see the tombstone my kids got me. You know what it said? Space for rent.
No respect. God almighty.
I wish I wasn't dead.
No respect.
It's so good.
Oh man.
I'm not gonna spend this whole time quoting someone pretending.
Doing a very poor Rodney Dangerfield.
Quoting someone pretending to be Rodney Dangerfield. I said, "Can you get this shirt in a medium?" They said, "Right away, sir." And they bring out a fortune teller. I just love that classic brand of
terrible
humor.
One-liners.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Are we doing on this day? Because there's some big things that just fucked up.
Do it.
You know what happened in 1945?
When was the last time we even did this?
With Sean.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But before then, I honestly could not tell you.
Not in a while. That's how you usually have me start the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's good.
Do you know what happened on this day, 1945?
I'm assuming it's a World War II thing.
Yeah. Kind of a big deal.
Is it the end of it?
No, it's the dropping of the second atomic bomb.
Ooh. Yikes.
Also, 1974, your favorite president, Richard M. Nixon, resigned as U.S. president.
That was yesterday.
On this day. No, it was today, August 9th.
It was yesterday.
August 9th.
What?
And Gerald Ford swears the oath of office.
Okay. Whatever.
Here he is.
Important week. It was an important week.
Here he is deferring an honorary degree onto Richard Nixon. And here he is wallowing in his own filth.
That was 33 years ago? 43 years ago? 43.
Four. 1974.
I thought it was 73.
No, 74.
Okay. It's 44 years ago.
Jeez, you got the date wrong. You got the year wrong.
Go to hell.
I have a history degree.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Ooh, they have a whole section on this about famous divorces on this day.
What?
Yeah.
They never have that. Wait, is that on Wikipedia?
No, it's on onthisday.com.
Oh. I always do this on Wikipedia, and the only thing they have are... The
famous
births, deaths, and events.
Famous weddings today, too.
Oh.
Robert Redford in 1958 wedded Lola Van Wagenen.
I don't care.
I don't know. I just know Robert Redford.
Give me good names. Give me interesting names. Come on.
Who died today? It's the anniversary of Sharon Tate's death. They're making a movie about that.
Oh, shoot. They're making like 1,000 movies about that, dude.
Yeah, but it's like one movie where what's-her-name is playing
that's
Sharon
the,
Tate.
The Tarantino one, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is more about Hollywood in the time of the Manson murders than it is about Manson murders. It's very Tarantino.
Crazy. I've been because Alkaline Trio has a song dedicated. It's called Sadie. It's about one of the Manson murderers.
Great.
And like I was listening to that song and I was reading up on the Manson murders because they're insane.
I know. Interesting stories. Lots of stories to tell. Yeah.
They're insane.
Okay. Well, all right. Then this has taken a pretty bad turn in terms of on this day.
Yeah, today's not a good day. However, on this day, 28 years ago, my older sister was born. So happy birthday to Megan.
Happy birthday, Megan.
That was a great turn. That was a good turn.
When are my family's birthdays? All my family's birthdays are condensed into like a 3-month period. Right? May, June, July. Then like my grandma is like an outlier there, but like my immediate family, we're all May, June, July.
Mm-hmm.
So, I started off May 1st. There we go. And my social security number is,
my
bank PIN number is
You could give me your birthday or your mother's maiden credit card number.
All right, we're going to think of something to talk about while some music plays.
We'll talk about your finding out about Black Mirror recently.
Oh, yeah. No. I did not find out about Black Mirror. I've always known Black Mirror is a thing. Actually, I think I watched Black Mirror since before it got picked up by Netflix. Like, I watched the first episode with the pig. Like, I want to say, like, when the second season, like, came out on television. So I've been with it for a while. It's just I haven't watched many episodes, and I find many of the episodes pedantic.
Let's save this.
Yeah.
Table
that's
it
fair. No,
after
I'm just,
the music.
I'm just leaving that out there.
While you're asleep, I'm terrified. While you're asleep, I'm terrified. I see the end before my eyes. I see the end before my eyes. A marker on a grave, marker on a grave, marker on a grave. And I know I'm the one who died. And underneath the name, underneath the name, underneath my name, it says he earned his life. I earned my life, I earned my life. I learned it from my father, and my father never lied. Jesus Christ, better learn how to forage. Utilities and mortgage are all that will survive.
Utilities and mortgage are all that will survive. That was Lemon Demon with I Earned My Life off the marvelous album Spirit Foam, which everyone should listen to. Spirit Foam. It's a fabulous album. It's amazing. Someone should turn it into a musical. Before that was The Smiths, What Difference Does It Make? A song that I was playing last night to the chagrin of my father, who hates The Smiths.
What?
Oh yeah. Sean Going hates the Smiths.
Sean Going hates the Smiths.
Yeah, hates them. Calls them depressing death music, which like,
which like, isn't wrong.
Yeah, no, it's accurate. But that's the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, Sean Going.
It's a good time. I mean, yeah, no, the Smiths. If I listen to more than, I want to say more than half an hour of the Smiths in a row, like that's bad. That's bad.
Or to you?
No, to me. I'm just saying it is, but it's catchy. You can't argue it's not catchy.
Yeah, no,
right.
I was having a discussion with someone who said that like the Smiths weren't like emo music.
I mean, that gets into a very interesting conversation about like what is a genre. Well, like just what is a genre in general, right? You know, Hank Green was actually talking about this on his YouTube channel the other day because he just wrote a book and he has no idea what genre to call the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like most like good books will have this problem where you're just like, what genre is this? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so what he ended up saying is it's speculative fiction as the genre because he couldn't decide if it was sci-fi, fantasy, or like just magical realism or whatever. And then they're like, cool, is it for adults or young adults? And he's like, I have no idea how to answer that. I wrote it for myself, and I'm an adult, so I guess adults. But also, young adults can read it. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Genres are dumb, in my opinion. It's like when people ask me what music I play on this show. You know, I just played a Go-Go's song, a Smith song, and a song that came out a song that came out on a 2016 album of like synth pop, like I don't know. And wait, what's the next song? The next song is also a recent one, and the one after that is like in between all these, like I don't know, man.
But going back, your dad doesn't like the Smiths, but I did see something interesting on Facebook from him. Was he was one of his statuses. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. Was like, you know, you've done a great job as a father when you hear the violent femmes blasting from your son's room.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, we're gonna do the violent femmes later. I might skip that now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just out of spite.
No, it's a great band. I think this kind of disappointed them the other day because I have a Violent Femmes t-shirt that is a women's t-shirt. I have a handful, I think, of women's t-shirts that fit me to varying degrees of interesting of interestingness, right? Like they'll be fine, right? They'll cover everything. They're not like overt, but like you can kind of tell when you're looking at them that like this is a woman's shirt, you know. Like, but I dig it. I
like
really
the
dig
episode
the cut.
Of The Office where Michael wears a woman's suit.
That's fair.
Mysterious.
Yo, I am always nervous now whenever I'm in like a thrift store or Goodwill or anything. I'm always like, the buttons are on the wrong side.
Yeah, no,
like
that's
I notice
easiest
it
tell.
So quickly.
It's the easiest like, wow. tell.
I didn't know that until that episode of The Office. I think that's ridiculous.
You know who taught me that? Was my ninth grade Spanish teacher. She
really?
Taught us that. She's like, oh yeah, the buttons for men's clothes are typically on the right side, and the buttons for women's clothes are on the left
okay,
side.
Okay, so here's a way in which patriarchy subtly affects our lives.
Yep.
Because when the buttons are on the right side for men, that means that we can button them with our right hand, which is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But for women's clothing, since the buttons are on the other side, it means you have to button it with your left hand. The least strong hand.
Unless you're a lefty.
Unless you're a lefty, but statistically you're not a lefty.
Yeah.
Right?
Was it like 1 in 8?
It's 1 in 10. 1 in 10-ish.
Yeah.
Like Obama or Jessica Going are the only lefties I really know. Or I think I know. No. Yeah. No, I always go through my head.
My uncle's a lefty.
You righty?
I'm a righty. My uncle's a lefty. He tells me back in Catholic school they used to wrap his knuckles so that he would use his right hand, but he couldn't do it.
Why?
Because it was Catholic school in the 70s.
It. But like, you know, I've heard the whole like oh, demonic possession argument before, right?
Yeah.
But to me that
it's the
seems
work of
like
the devil.
Yeah, to me that seems like, you know, something from a long time ago, not something from 50 years ago. I don't
be surprised.
I mean, here's the thing, right? I'm all down for the demonic possession, right? Like, hail our Dark Lord Satan. Like, I've got...
I don't know why, but when you said that, that just reminded me of Tanfritz. I don't... Your mannerisms when you did it.
Hail Satan.
Hail the Dark Lord Satan.
Hail the Dark Lord Satan.
French tuck.
French tuck. Tuck.
French tuck.
He's... Remember, he's... I don't know.
Pakistani.
No, but that has nothing to do with his accent. I was about to say he's from New Zealand, but he's not from New Zealand.
He's not.
He does kind of have a bit of a New Zealand flair to him. I've got a voodoo doll in my old apartment that I'm not allowed to bring home. I remember when I told my mom that I had a voodoo doll, she immediately goes, in this house? And I'm like, no. And she goes, good. It was funny. Darkness...
The Dark Lord.
No parents. Did you see the Lego Batman movie?
Hail Stan. What?
Did you see the Lego Batman movie?
I have not.
There's the song... Or actually, no, it's not from the Lego Batman movie. It's from the Lego movie. It's the song Batman wrote that's just like, darkness, no parents. Darkness. You should see the Lego Batman movie, though. I think it's the best Batman movie that's ever been written.
That's saying quite a
no,
bit.
No, I mean it. It's the only one that I think genuinely explores him as a character.
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious.
The Lego Batman movie.
The Lego Batman movie
does a better
is the
job
only
of examining
Batman's
Batman
character than the Dark
as
Knight.
A character than any other Batman. Any Tim Burton, any...
Yes, easily.
Any of the...
easily. Batman,
Nolan Batmans.
Batman, in all those other movies, Batman is just a set piece, whereas in this one, Batman, like, changes as a person, and, like, you learn more about him as a person. And I'm not talking plot. I'm
just
talking,
like,
emotions.
Just because it's the Lego.
It's the Lego... I mean, they do a great job. Like, I mean, did you see... You saw the Lego movie?
No.
Oh. Well, you should see the Lego movie because it's the best children's movie ever made.
I'm also a 24-year-old man.
Yeah, but it's not even just a children's movie. It's like a
family
movie. I
feel
like
it'd be weird
movie.
For me to watch the Lego movie
no,
by myself.
It's not, because you'll genuinely have a great time. Like, you will watch it, and then next time you come on the show, you will just not stop quoting it to me because you'll love it so much. Mm. I know that this is a fact.
You know me. It's a great you.
No, and like, I've never met anyone who disliked it. Mm. It's brilliant. I didn't see the third one, the Lego Ninjago movie, but I kind of wanted to. It was kind of cute from the trailers. I just never did. But the Batman one's really good too. Batman, and the villains of the Batman one are every villain ever. Mm-hmm. He defeats all of the Batman villains in the first 5 minutes, except for the Joker. And then the Joker teams up with every villain from literature ever, and they all team up to beat Batman. So wow. You've got like Sauron from the Lord of the Rings. You've got King Kong. Mm-hmm. You've got a bunch of other people. Like, it's just fun. It's good. It's a good movie. You want to do some more music?
Yeah. Then we'll come back and talk about this San Junipero trip.
Junipero? Is it San Junipero?
Junipero.
Junipero. Is that a real city?
No.
Okay.
We'll be right back. still waters, nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Nothing for a man to do but sit around and think. Well, I'm thinking and I'm thinking till there's nothing I ain't funk. Breathing in the stink. God saves. Kiss your mother goodnight and remember that God saves. I led her to a hole, a deep black well. I said, make a wish, make sure and not tell. And close your eyes, dear, and count to seven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. You know your papa loves you, good children go to heaven. I gave her a push, I gave her a shove. I pushed with all my might, I pushed with all my love. I threw my child into a bottomless pit. Never heard her hit. She was screaming as she fell, but I never heard her hit.
Man, I had something else to say. I had an idea, and then I got derailed by Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that usually happens.
Yeah, no, there was a thing about the Space Force, and I was just thinking to myself, God, I hate the world.
We live in the dumbest times. Like, there were people who didn't have fire, and we are dumber than them.
I just think, I just, you know, anytime anyone says the Space Force, or mentions it, it's literally like watching someone step on my child. Yeah. That, now, like, that, hold that's,
on. If Space Force was something Tom DeLonge was doing, I'd be all for it. But
no, I no. Just anytime anyone implies that we should bring weapons into space, I want to claw their eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
And my own. So
yeah, we live in the dumbest times.
Man, I had another comment that we were gonna do before before you read this PSA, but I, for the life of me, cannot remember, and it was gonna be good.
Is it in regards to this PSA?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was just something I was gonna throw out there, and I completely forget now. Hmm. It makes me sad. And I'm currently, for the readers at home, I'm scrolling through my Facebook as fast as I can to try to find the thing that
sparked the thought.
That sparked the thought. You know, how many times have we all done this? Because none of us have any sort of attention span anymore,
nope.
Right?
Nope.
So we're just, I'm just angry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Give us your, hold on, let's queue up.
Let's set the mood for the people.
There we go.
Just some numbers to think about in regards to world wealth distribution.
Hold on. You have to do this without a black scent, all right?
I'm not.
No, that totally. You were trying to slow jam that, and I understand why you'd get confused and be like, I'm saying this as if I'm the host of the secret spot on Emerson's public radio every night, right? But no, you need to read that in normal voice.
I did.
Sure, we're just going to start this over again. Here we go. You can try to be a little smooth about
That's
it.
That's what I was doing.
Fine.
The smooth jazz voice.
Just all I'm saying is watch yourself, all right? This is Tufts, all right?
Just some numbers to think about in regards to world health.
Okay, hold on. Now you sound like you're being bullied. Sound like you're crying. Here are some numbers to think about world wealth distribution.
I am being bullied.
Okay.
By you.
No, okay. I appreciate you. I appreciate your input. Do whatever you want. I won't stop you this time.
I'm trying to set the mood, Zach.
Okay. Let's take a deep breath together. Here we go. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, but I don't appreciate my PSAs being interrupted.
Okay, now they're no longer interrupted. Here we go.
Here are some numbers to think about in regards to world wealth distribution. The world's 8 richest billionaires control as much wealth as half the world's population combined. According to Oxfam International Report, presented at the 2017 World Economic Forum in Davos, these 8 men own the same as the 3.6 billion people who make up the poorest half of humanity. In 2010, by comparison, it took the combined assets of the 43 richest people to equal those of the poorest 50%. Since 2009, the wealth of the super rich has increased by an average of 11% annually, while income for many workers has remained essentially unchanged. Some numbers to think about from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Okay, you really did plan that really well. We're gonna leave this on in the background a little bit.
Just I know I planned it really well.
No, you timed. I'm just saying.
I know. I did that on purpose.
Like you did that with the first. No, but I'm saying like you ended right before the chorus start. I mean, right before the verse started.
I planned it.
That's why
I took those breaks before I started reading the PSA because I knew the timing of it. I love this song.
Okay, fair.
Can't believe you yelled at me twice.
Well, to be fair, the second time was more of an apology.
I got yelled at on air for reading. This is why I don't read anymore.
Door's right there. For the readers at home, I just pointed at the door. Hold on. Was that the chorus? No, wait. It's right. It's right here, right? Ooh.
For the love of money.
Love of money. Still love that. I still have that Trump version of this song that I made.
You know what's funny? Back when Trump was involved with the few times he and Vince McMahon did mm-hmm. something on WWE, his mm-hmm. song entrance just went money, 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 money. It was like the intro for the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. They just repurposed it.
Sure.
The Million Dollar Man, by the way, was an 80s gimmick of a guy who was so rich he could buy anything. He would make people in the audience come into the ring and like try and bounce a basketball 30 times in order to give them $100. They'd do 29, and then he'd smack the basketball out of their hand. He'd be like, oh, sorry, you didn't do it. And then he paid, like, he couldn't win the world championship, but he paid Andre the Giant to win the world championship and then give it to him, but it was never validated. He was the ultimate bad guy because he was super rich in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people hated him.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I love gimmicks.
Gimmicks are the best. Gimmick wrestling is the best.
Oh, I never... Sorry, no, that just sparked a different thought that would require some explanation.
San Junipero.
San Junipero.
You watched this for the first time.
Really good episode of Black Mirror. It often considered the best, I would say. I don't really know anyone... I don't know anyone who said differently, although apparently some of like the online like lists and stuff say that it's not, but...
Okay, when have the online lists ever been right about anything?
Well, no, like I was on there... I was on the Wikipedia page for San Junipero, and it was like, here are like people who've called it the best episode, and like here are people who haven't, which is interesting.
So
it's good. It's Black Mirror at its best, I think.
I'd like to tell the dear readers at home that I told Zach months ago to watch this episode.
As have other people.
Yeah. And then...
And the internet in general. And I just hadn't. Because I find Black Mirror oftentimes very pedantic. And I still haven't watched many episodes. I think I've watched almost all of them. I've not watched the episodes that people are like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Or dumb. You know? Black Mirror, for those of you uninitiated, is an anthology sci-fi series that was originally British, and now it's still British, but it's on Netflix now, right? And Netflix has given it an insane budget, and every episode is like 90 minutes long, and I mean it's essentially films, right? Which is great. I love it. But oftentimes the show gets a little preachy. Patronizing. Yeah, you know, It's very... The best way I've heard it described is, what if phone, but too much? You know? And, I mean, and it's not
That's
just phones.
That's too true.
It very much is
what
focused
technology,
on...
technology, but too much?
It's very much focused on modern technology and, like, the perils of modern technology. But a little less phones and more, like, AI and chips implanted in people's brains.
Lots of chips implanted in people's brains. You said you watched pretty much... all of season 3 and season 4 now.
Yeah.
So...
and a couple episodes from the first two seasons.
So did you see the one where they have the chip implemented behind their ear and they can, like, review all of their memories? Like, it's like their eyes are constantly recording everything they're doing.
I might have watched that years ago.
I think it's called The Story of You or something like that.
I think I have watched it, but years ago, and I don't remember it much. It's very similar, though, right? Am I correct to the episode in season 4 where, that Jodie Foster directed with... where it's like the chip implanted in the brain.
The episode is called The Entire History of You.
Yes. I think I've seen this one.
Yeah. It's essentially the guy goes on an interview, and like he's watching it, and then he goes to like a dinner with his wife with a bunch of friends, and like he's re-watching the dinner, and he sees his wife like... laughing and being close with this guy, and he suspects her of having an affair, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes through the whole episode of him like becoming obsessive about watching things over and over again, watching her moves and stuff.
Yeah,
like that's a good episode from the first season that I really liked. What do you think of? Have you seen Hang the DJ?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a great one.
It's fabulous. I mean, I kind of like it more. I mean, There's always a twist ending to Black Mirror. I was joking at work the other day that you can write an episode of Black Mirror with four dice rolls, where it's like, the first is a piece of technology, and then the second one is the evil thing that piece of technology does, and then there's the third one is the subject of the twist, and then the fourth one is the twist. So it could be like, I'm trying to come up with one that's not an actual episode of Black Mirror. Wireless headphones brainwash people, but then at the end, Chris is secretly a headphone, you know? Like,
I'm a headphone on something else.
I don't know. Or Chris has been brainwashed the whole time. You know, like that's an episode of Black Mirror, you know?
It's,
Or there's an episode that I won't spoil the twist of, but robot bees start killing people.
You know? I know exactly.
Which is a great episode.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what episode's good too is Be Right Back. You see that one?
Which one's that?
It's essentially the guy who was like obsessive about being on his phone.
Sure.
He's talking to his wife. I think she's like just finds out she's pregnant. He dies in a car crash. Mm-hmm. And like there's this technology where they can create an AI of him to have like text conversations with her and then voice conversations like on the phone, and it replicates his voice and it's eerie. And it's like, oh, I can actually be a real person too. Or it's like a robot that's pretty like a humanoid. It gets really weird. I don't want to spoil the ending, but that's a good one too.
Honestly, I would call it's very, we should cut this conversation short in a bit.
Yeah.
But I would compare its analysis of like modern technology very
Twilight Zone-y.
Very close. Well, I would say very close to Westworld in terms of like things that are currently out and like being made.
Never seen Westworld.
You should see Westworld. But I prefer Westworld. Westworld's a little less heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some really good episodes. Black Mirror's occasionally really good at creating like personal stories about characters you like.
Like San Junipero.
Westworld is not like that. Yeah, San Junipero is.
I think awesome. San Junipero is often regarded as one of the best because it's one of the few with a happy ending.
Yeah, there are like two with happy endings.
That and Hang the DJ.
And Hang the DJ.
Are like happy ending ones, and they're great episodes.
Yeah, everything else involves some character being trapped in some form of like purgatory.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would actually also say the one with the killer bees has a
not
sad ending necessarily, just a dark ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's not optimistic necessarily.
No.
But I do like it. And I love a good manifesto, and there's a character in that episode who writes a manifesto. You know, one time on Tough Secrets is a Facebook page where tough students can post anonymous comments. Yeah. And I one time posted the entire first couple chapters of the Unabomber Manifesto in Tough Secrets, unmarked, right? Like it just looked like a block of text. And somewhat, the first comment was, wow, this is actually very insightful, blah, 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 blah. And the second comment was, I think this is the Unabomber Manifesto. And then the third comment was me saying, it is.
And then the comments were shut off.
It was good. It was good.
Wow, this is really insightful.
I love a minute. It's fascinating.
Oh, God.
Who is Ted Kaczynski? Unabomber.
Honest to God,
Unabomber.
I just watched that movie last week again for the millionth time.
I know a lot of people.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
I know a lot of Boston people who really hate that movie.
I love that movie. It is so cliche that as someone who lives 4 miles north of Boston, that is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
But it is.
It's a good movie.
It's my favorite movie.
It's really fun.
Good Will Hunting.
Matt Damon. I just watched The Departed for the first time last week. And it is
overrun
a movie. It
stuff.
Is a movie.
It's overrun with stuff. It's too much.
Yeah. Like it's a lot.
It's a huge ensemble cast.
There is a great, I think my favorite shot, and watching the whole movie was worth it for these two shots. Number one is Jack Nicholson with the severed hand.
Yeah.
But number two is Leo downing a couple lorazepam with a bottle of Sprite. It's just like, this is a fabulous, fabulous shot, and I like it. Mark Wahlberg getting punched in the face.
Which is always
something
that
we need.
Yeah,
which is fun in general. Yeah.
Which is always something we need. Mark Wahlberg, I'm calling you out, Mark Wahlberg. Here we go. Calling out Mark Wahlberg.
No, I'm not going to call out Mark Wahlberg.
If I call out Mark
Wahlberg, I'm going to get whacked is what's going to happen.
I'm calling out Mark Wahlberg. I don't want him to be the representative of the city of Boston and Hollywood. I'm sick of it.
I don't think he is.
I take my stand here. He is no longer...
Is he the representative of the city of Boston in Hollywood?
He is the biggest Bostonian in Hollywood.
I think he plays up his Boston identity to, like, for, like, like for cheap marketing purposes, right? Like, but again, I love Mark Wahlberg. I don't want to get whacked.
Do you think any of Mark Wahlberg's people listen to this station?
No, but maybe. I don't know.
Someone will tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends.
Yeah,
and they'll tell two
mouth.
Friends, and it'll get back to Mark Wahlberg, and we're going to get whacked.
Donnie.
Donnie Wahlberg's going to hear this.
I mean, well, Donnie's got nothing else to do.
I don't know. He's married to Jenny McCarthy.
I don't know. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, what else has Donnie got going on?
What were we talking about, Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg getting slapped in the face in
The
Departed.
He got punched by what's his face?
Matt Damon,
I think.
Yeah, but then
it's fine. But then he shoots Matt Damon. Yeah,
that's the worst part.
That's the worst part. What you're rooting for Matt Damon's character?
I root for Matt Damon.
The rat in the state police department. Whatever. I like Matt Damon. Don't get me wrong. I think if I have to choose between Matt and Ben, like Matt all the way.
If you had to choose between Matt and Mark Wahlberg, though.
Oh, Matt all the way.
Yeah.
But like, no, but I liked Ben before he had to go break the heart of Jennifer Garner. I love Jennifer Garner so much. Anyone who deserves to.
Now, what kind of Ben are we talking about that you like? Are you talking Chasing Amy Ben?
Oh, I'm talking Chasing Amy Ben.
Like Dogma Ben?
Chasing Amy, Dogma, amazing films.
Chasing Amy's a great film.
Amazing movies. Yes. I think Chasing Amy is so ungodly sincere as a film, and I've argued with a lot of people about Chasing Amy because I think it's easy to watch Chasing Amy and not think about it and think that it's a movie that, like, doesn't believe, like, that homosexuality is a real thing, but, like, it's not about that. It's about shitty people, you know? That's what the movie's about. Ben Affleck is not a good person in Chasing Amy, right? And you gotta understand that before you watch it, but you have to sit there and say that.
Have
realize,
that in your mind yeah. as you're watching it.
Yeah, you have to realize
that this movie's about bad people.
Yeah, the movie is not trying to endorse Ben Affleck's character position in the film.
No.
You know, I think it's a very sympathetic, very honest look at just like people. I love Chasing Amy. I think Chasing Amy is a brilliant film.
I love Chasing Amy. Ben Affleck's a great actor. I love Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, me too. Ben Affleck in a lot of
things. That whole scene on the construction site, the whole scene where Matt Damon sends him to go as his representative. You suspect.
All right. We gotta break into some music here.
All right.
Before we end. But here we go.
Thank you.
That was the Bangles with Hazy Shade of Winter. Which, a song that I didn't know was a Simon and Garfunkel song until yesterday.
How old were you? I was yesterday days old.
I was 21 years old. That's right, folks at home. I'm 21.
You're an adult.
Yeah. Sometimes I pull... Sometimes now I pull the super bad thing when people ask me how old I am, and I'll be like, old enough. I'll be like, old enough for what? To party?
That's a McLovin quote, right?
That's a McLovin quote. When the cops ask him, how old are you? Old enough. Old enough for what?
You know what?
With
your whole look, it kind of fits.
Yeah. All right. You got any last words to say before we close out the show?
Zach looks like McLovin is what I'm getting at.
Is not actually what I look. I'm much more handsome. Mm-hmm. I have more defined jawline.
Are you saying you are more handsome than Christopher Mintz-Plasse?
Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I don't know. It is now.
Has he done anything recently? He's got all that McLovin money. It's fine.
He was in that Zac Efron and Seth Rogen movie.
Oh, yeah.
Neighbors or whatever.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was in that.
I liked those films.
Yeah, I thought they were quite enjoyable.
You've been listening to the Astro Hour on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. I've been Zach Going. This has been Chris Del Russo.
See ya.
Stay tuned. Strike the Box. Great show coming up.
Chris is wearing a Ramon shirt, which makes it even cooler.
It is really cool.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, there he is. And we're going to end it with a song from my doppelganger, a more attractive me.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Belinda Carlisle. Here we go.
Oh,